Wondering if you should stay in Illinois or move out of state? Get your copy of Scott Tucker's book, Escape Illinois, Should I Stay or Should I Go? Get your complimentary copy at retirementdakota.com.
Investment advisory services are made available through AE Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
WGN. It is Dane Neal in for Patty Vasquez tonight, 11 until 2 on a day that is, this is one of those days that will not live in infamy, right? This is one of those great days. It feels like spring outside, and I know millions of Cubs fans all around Chicago and around the world wish it was spring right now as, come on, right? Christmas?
Well, you know, who would have known in the middle of December almost it's going to be 60 degrees just about.
I know. That's good. It feels like spring, and of course it also feels like Christmas as Cub, you know, management brain trust has given us really an unexpected gift. I didn't see this one coming.
Yeah, it's Christmas come early, Dane. Jason Hayward, $184 million contract today.
I know, it seems like a lot of money. You know, back in the day, you know, whatever those dollars would equate to, but that was really actually a bargain, right?
Well,
he could have got more.
He could have gotten more money. You know, it's clear that he wanted to like these other guys want. He wants to be with a winner, and you know, there's that goal of getting a world championship in Chicago. You get that, you can write your own ticket after that.
You're just saying crazy. Come to the Cubs because he wants to be with a winner.
Yeah, it doesn't even seem like it makes sense. But it's almost like a dream. I'm waiting for someone to wake me up because when I heard that today, I couldn't believe it. It was Christmas come early.
I know you've been crying. Of course, you'll have some Kleenex there. That voice and those tears are from Dino Tiberi. He's riding shotgun today. And, of course, beloved producer and executive awesomeness for Patty Vasquez, Craig, in the booth. And we're going to tackle a lot of topics. They're going to give people an opportunity to kind of vent, cry, cheer, be excited about the Cubs and share their thoughts on this. And, of course, Dino, you said some people are complaining, like, should have got him for 183.
Yeah, there's always the glass is half empty group. You know, they're going to find some reason why. You know,
is that a support group? Like, yeah, hi, apparently. My name is Brad. I'm upset.
Everything's a downer.
Could be better.
But, yeah, I mean, the people are talking and trying to pigeonhole a deal already. It's like, you know, it just happened today. I mean, enjoy it. It's going to be an exciting year on the north side. And, you know, for the naysayers out there, we'll see what happens.
The nattering nabobs. Yep. So 312-981-7200. You can share your thoughts on the Cubs. If you're excited about it, definitely share that. So many people, so much emotion. If you're upset or maybe just a little bit disgruntled or crabby, you can definitely share that as well. Here's what we're going to be doing on the show today. So we're going to have Al Yellen, Bleed Cubby Blue. It is the preeminent Cubs blog media format. I want to say in the country, but it's, Cub fans all over the place, log in, check in, read in. I do it on a regular basis. It's been years of terrible news, and Al Yellen is going to be joining us with some good news and just what we should do with that, right?
Sure. And Al does some great, he does great work, Dane, as you mentioned, and it's going to be good to hear what he's got to say about the deal and the moves the Cubs have made and where they're going to go from here.
And Tom Krupp is going to be joining us a little bit later on in the program. Jack Brickhouse, of course, broadcasting radio. Hey, that's not bad. Radio icon, of course, so many years here at WGN Radio. In fact, there's a statue of him in Pioneer Court just a little bit. I guess that would be to the south of here. And no longer with us, but had a lot known for the Cubs, but it just had a career that really spanned, I think, the full scope of broadcasting. Him and an Irv Cupson, it would call the Bear games. He was
Jack had a lot of range in his career, and not only the Cubs, like you said, the Bears, and he was an icon here in Chicago. There's no question about it.
Yep. He had a lot of range. He also had a lot of stuff, right? And since Jack is no longer using the stuff, and there's so many people that would love to have a little piece of history and a piece of Jack. So Tom Krupp is going to join us. I'm not sure he'll tell us for sure, like how he obtained all of these items that apparently used to be either Jack Brickhouse's or were worked with or used by Jack Brickhouse. He's going to talk about it. And you know what? It's not an auction format. He corrected me. On that, it's actually there's a price for them, so maybe we'll get to some of those. Dino, I know you said you're interested in maybe some of those, and maybe some listeners for a Christmas present can buy some Brickhouse.
Absolutely,
have some Brickhouse.
There's nothing wrong with little Jack
under
no
the tree.
About it.
So then, Audra is going to be in. She is Audra Hamlin. She is from thegiftfirm.com. For those people out there, I'm one of them. And of course, 312-981-7200, listeners can call in with their gift suggestions, things that they're thinking of getting other people, that think other people should probably get for other people if they want to, or things that they want, you know, presents that that are out there. Dean, are you a good gift guy?
Well, as far as purchasing them or receiving them.
Well.
No, actually, I do a lot of my shopping online. I'm not a big fan of the, you know, going out to the malls and bumping into people, but I do a lot of it online. I do go out, you know, now and then, and you know, I think I do okay.
Okay. We're also going to tackle some issues that are out there now. In New York, Danny Meyer, you know, one of the preeminent restaurateurs in the country, so many restaurants in New York. He's got some things here. I think Shake Shack is one of the ones that he brought to Chicago, but no tipping in restaurants. We hear about people don't tip around, you know, in Europe. If you go on vacation, you're not supposed to tip. Here in America, tipping is a big part of the culture. It's a big part of for all of those people working in and around, people that, you know, I know well and work with in the hospitality industry. They depend on that.
Right.
And so a change in the tipping culture is going to be different. So we're going to talk about that. Of course, people can weigh in with their thoughts on that, but we'll be talking about tipping, no tipping. Do you have a thought on it? Tipping, no tipping?
Well, I always... they start out at 100% and then they work their way backward. They're going to get 20, you know, I'm going to give them at least 20% unless they really screw it up, because that's just the way it is. I mean, you know, I have a, and it can be more than that, certainly, but that's a flat amount that I like to start out with, but we can get into more of that a little bit later once we get into
that
topic.
We'll definitely do that. The etiquette on tipping, etiquette on crazy holiday parties. So if you're going to attend one, you want to know what to do, you're going to want to stay tuned for that. We've got Diane Gottsman with that. And then, of course, one of my favorite things, what we meant to get to. There's some people are funny, right? And so they'll be out there doing funny things. We'll talk about that late in the program. But stay tuned. We're going to have Al Young from Bleed Cubby Blue joining us in just a second. It is Dane Neal in for Patty on 720 WGN. Wow. 720 WGN. It is Dane Neal in for Patty Vasquez from 11 till 2. You know, Dino, one thing you know about that music that you heard, it sounded old, right?
It was.
It was made back when people had a reason to make music to celebrate what was going on with the Cubs. We're going to have some brand new songs made in the near future. The guy on the line here, and I've got to give him like huge kudos. This guy he's the managing editor for Bleed Cubby Blue, and it is a site that I check out every single day. I don't comment on it. I just kind of watch to see. And you see so many. It is a forum for Cub fans to cry on each other's shoulders, right? And to high five online now, which a lot of them are doing. The one and only Al Yellen is on the line. Al, welcome to the show.
Hey, hi. Thanks for having me.
Hi, Al.
Al, this is, you know, you have seen a lot of days, either from your vantage point in the bleachers or, of course, you know, as your hand on the pulse of everything going on in the world of Cub. This has got to be one of those ones you mark off on the calendar.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, this has been a week that I don't know that anybody really expected this. You know, when the offseason started, a lot of people were saying, yeah, it'd be great if the Cubs could get Ben Zobrist, and it'd be great if the Cubs could get Jason Hayward, and, you know, maybe it's going to be too much money, and we don't think we could get both of them. And now here we are, and both of those guys are Cubs. It's kind of like, you know, you have to pinch yourself and say, yeah, this is really happening.
When I saw it on my phone, and I looked up, and then Dino had texted me, I'd just gotten off the air from an earlier shift, and said, hey, we got – hey, I had this weird kind of – tingly, unhinged feeling, like
out of body experience.
Yeah, no,
really.
it almost was. But as a guy who covers so much of this, you said it was completely unexpected. Or is this the kind of thing that we should just become accustomed to as Cub fans with this management team?
I'd like to hope so and think so. I mean, they seem to have no hesitation to go out and spend the money they need to spend now. You know, after having this great unexpected season last year with all these young players, and Bryant and Schwarber and Russell and Rizzo and Soler all having great years and winning 97 games and beating the Cardinals in the playoff series. This all happened maybe a year before everybody expected it to happen. Well, now you've got these raised expectations that the next step is going to be the World Series, and they seem real serious about taking this 97-win team and, you know, winning at least 97 games again next year and taking the next step and winning the championship series and getting to the World Series and winning it. Everybody in the organization seems really focused on it and willing to do whatever it takes.
Al, there was a lot of theories and discussion about the fact that the brain trust for the Cubs, you know, Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer, they thought that since next year's class was a little weaker, that maybe it's a two-for-one where they parlayed both year's expenses into this particular group of players that they acquired. What are your thoughts on that? Do you think that's something that they tried to do when they put this package of players together this offseason?
Well, that's a possibility. And, of course, we don't know all the details of the Jason Hayward contract yet, but we do know that there is probably an opt-out after 3 years or maybe 4 years. So they haven't committed all this money down the road for all eight seasons. They look like they're going to a winning window of the next 3 to 4 years. The four-year contract is Zobrist, the 3 or 4 years on an opt-out to Jason Hayward. So, yeah, it does sound like they could have, piled a lot of money right into the 2016 season and really trying to win now. And even at that, you've got all these young guys who aren't going to get paid a lot of money for a couple more years, and that's a core of a team that can be a winner for, well beyond 2016.
And then, on top of all of the moves that were, just made within the last 24 to 48 hours, we forget that they already signed John Lackey last week. So, I mean, it's been just a tremendous week for the Cubs here in the offseason, and it really gives fans hope that we can finally turn the corner and get the World Series that this town's been starving for over 100 years. So it's been pretty amazing, and I really think that right now the Cubs are going in the right direction. They've got the right guy at the helm. They've got the right people in place in the front office. Things are looking good, and it's hard to now to temper that enthusiasm going into the new year.
Right, and I can't give enough credit to Joe Maddon for the job he did with these players. I think he got everybody on the same page, everybody willing to do what was necessary for the team to win. He got everybody buying into it, and there's a lot of talk too that he did a sales job on some of these guys to come here. Ben Zobrist played for Maddon in Tampa for 9 years, so those two are very familiar with each other. There's a comfort level there. I think that Joe Maddon is one of the great selling points of this team with his leadership and his, understanding of what it takes to make a team win. You can never give that guy enough credit. I think he's the best Cubs manager since Joe McCarthy. And, that's 85 years ago. I'm serious.
We all remember the Joe McCarthy days. Well, but Al, now here's the thing. And it's all about being attractive. We've seen Cub teams throw money at players and at situations, and it wasn't well spent. But here's what they're doing is they're actually getting bargains, and they're creating a situation that is attractive so that they're able to pull players in, and they're taking less money just to come to the Cubs. You've got Joe Maddon. You mentioned him. You've got the facilities. You mentioned that. You've got this culture of winning. It's becoming an attractive place to play, which actually saves us even more money.
Well, there's one more thing you didn't mention, and that is the fact that every player in baseball knows what it would mean to be on the first Cubs team to win a World Series in over 100 years. I mean, that makes them, heroes forever. They'd be building statues to these guys.
You wouldn't be.
So, I mean, everybody, every baseball player would love to be part of that. So that has to be an attraction, too, for guys like Ben Zobrist and Jason Hayward to want to come to Chicago.
So you're meaning not necessarily statues, but you'd be making Al Pomonte like car commercials forever.
We remember those guys forever. I'm sure in Boston they got to remember the guys who won the World Series of the Red Sox in 2004 for the first time, in many decades. Those guys will be remembered by Red Sox fans forever. So that's the same kind of thing. Theo understands that he was part of that. So he understands what that would mean to do the same thing with the Cubs.
Well, Al, how do you? Okay, so managing editor for Bleed Cubby Blue, and for listeners out there, as far as the hand on the pulse, on the cutting edge of Cubness, Al is doing it over there and providing a forum not only of on the construction. You've got pictures up all the time, but also kind of managing just every single one of the situations, and then the psyches of the fans. So how has that been? How have you been able to keep yourself up? Because I remember looking at things, last year, a year before, where, some of the discussions were, should I keep my season tickets? This is terrible. How long is this going to be? And then now, of course, these are the salad days. But so how did you manage, a lot of the people that enjoy the site?
Well, it's not easy when the team's losing. I mean, and this is not anything that's different in any, being a fan of any sports team. When the team's bad, it's tough to follow them. There's people that I know who regularly frequent the site and, who I know are really dedicated Cubs fans. When they were losing 95 and 100 games, You know, they wouldn't watch the games every day. They just couldn't stand to. You know, now they can't stand to be away from it. They're there all the time. I mean, as you can guess, traffic on the site is up tremendously because people want to be around this winning atmosphere, and it's fun. Winning is fun, and that's what people want to be a part of.
Al, what do you see going forward here now that we've got some of these pieces in place? What do you think the future is for Soler and Baez, and are there more moves that are going to be made here, do you think, in the next short term or going into next season?
I keep hearing rumors that they're still looking for maybe another starting pitcher, so yeah, it's possible they could move some more pieces around. I think that they definitely have a vision of what they want next year's team to look like, and if it means that Javier Baez is traded, they'll do it if they think he can improve the team. If they think Jorge Soler being sent somewhere will improve the team, they'll do it. They won't hesitate. You know, again, it's all this kind of buying into what's best for the team, not necessarily what's best for one individual. They want to make the best team they possibly can. So, and no, I don't think they're going to stand pat from now. I think there's probably more moves coming.
Well, then there's other teams involved out there in baseball. Of course, we're focused on the Cubs, and of course you are with the site, but how it affects the other teams. We're going to take a really quick break. Al, can you hold on just through the break? Because we want to talk a little bit about the Cardinals and, of course, your thoughts on some of the changes that are going to happen at Wrigley Field over the offseason.
You bet.
All right, we'll be right back. It's Dane Neal in for Patty Vasquez. Going to take a quick break here on 720 WGN.
Stop.
This song isn't taken.
Stealing it back.
All right, 720 WGN, Dane Neal again in for Patty, 11 until 2 on a day that has a lot of Cub fans super excited. So a great person to talk to is on the line. BleedCubbyBlue.com is the preeminent Cub place website online for Cubs to, you know, get news as far as, you know, from the Cubs, the team, the trades, the construction over at Wrigley Field, and, of course, to share their thoughts online as well. The managing editor is Al Yellen. He is with us. Al, welcome back to WGN.
Thanks for having me again.
So now I contend, and this is what has been so unique about this, and we saw it a little bit at the end of the season during kind of that whole playoff push, and then certainly in the playoffs. I contend that, you know, it's only really a rivalry when the other team loses sometimes, you know, and even though we always, as Cub fans, we always think of the Cardinals as our rivals, I'm not sure that the Cardinals were really aware that that we mattered. But we see this now where these moves come in, where some of their players are taken, where we knocked them out of the playoffs in like huge dramatic fashion. And I don't know if I'm surprised by it, but I think I am a little bit surprised at just how poorly they're taking all this.
Yeah, I mean, you said they haven't been aware. I think they're aware now. yeah, it's kind of been one-sided over at least the last 20 years. The Cardinals were in the playoffs, you know, many times over the last 20 years, won a couple of World Series, and, you know, the Cubs were never in the playoffs in the same years. This is the first time ever. And all of a sudden, they take 3 out of 4 and win a division series. And I think most Cardinal fans are thinking, uh-oh, and because they look at guys like Schwarber and Bryant and Russell and these young guys, and here's an up-and-coming team that's going to be around for a while. And as you said, you know, now the Cubs have taken 2 of their better players from last year's Cardinals team. And so, yeah, I think Cardinals Nation was not real happy today.
No, there were a lot of things. There were jerseys burned. There were a lot of comments. Twitter blew up. I mean, there were comments made that were, I mean, we can't even mention them on the radio. Some of the things that were said about, you know, Hayward, that what the Cardinal fans wanted, their one of the players wanted one of the players to hit him in the head with a pitch and then do it again, and you know, it just, they took it to another level, which I was kind of taken aback by it, because like you say, they've won so much, they've won so many titles, they're always in contention, they just keep rebuilding. I mean, they'll get hit and they're going to go out and get a couple players. There's no question about it now, just so they can, you know, fortify what they lost. And they've been a good organization from that aspect for a long time. And it's kind of like the Green Bay of the NFL, where, you know, the Bears, the Green Bay just continues to reload and they keep being successful. It's the same thing in St. Louis. They keep doing it and it keeps driving us Cub fans nuts, because they don't go through a prolonged slump like we do here.
Prolonged 108 years. Yeah. So, Al, what do you think about that? I mean, do you think that the fans, that they're, that maybe they're kind of shocked by how good the Cubs were? Because we would see stuff on Bleed Cubby Blue where, you know, occasionally like a Cardinal fan would kind of chime in and be like, yeah, yeah, you're going to blow it. And now, hey, it's real.
You know, let me say personally, I've never had problems with Cardinal fans. I went to St. Louis twice last year. I saw the series there in September, and the two playoff games they played there, Cardinal fans were great. One guy was harassing me, and Cardinals employees took care of him right away. They were real good. Most of the fans were great. You know, they liked this rivalry. But, you know, the reaction today was really strange. You know, here's a guy, Jason Hayward, he's only been a Cardinal for 1 year.
Right.
And all of a sudden he leaves, and they explode in fury. You know, think about it. You know, a few years ago, Albert Pujols, you know, one of the iconic Cardinals of all time, left St. Louis, and, you know, they were unhappy, but, I guess they understood, and it wasn't that big a deal, and they'd move along, and they won World Series without him. I think the thing is that Hayward went to the Cubs. That's what really frosts them. It's not that he left.
Right.
It's where he went.
But, Al, you kind of hit on it, though, too. He's only really been on the Cardinals for 1 year. It's not the same as, like, you know, Johnny Damon leaving the Red Sox for the Yankees. This is, I mean, they're maybe too attached to him.
Right, right. And it's, you know, I think there is some fear there. That's what's coming out, is that they're afraid that, you know, this run that they've been on, which is a nice little run, you know, they've had a 20-year run of being in the playoffs almost every year, winning a few World Series. I'm thinking the Cardinal fans may be afraid it might be ending.
I think you hit on it. That's the fear talking. Now, here's the thing that was so important about the team. Obviously, Joe Maddon, and we talked about what an impact he had. I mean, it was Phil Jackson, like the way that he managed the personalities, got them through tough times into other things. But chemistry is such an important part. And this team actually really seemed like they loved each other. You know, they had so many fun, quirky things that they were doing on the chemistry side. You bring in a guy like John Lackey, who's been described as not really the nicest guy. And then you bring in some other Cardinal situation. Are you worried? Have you heard anybody being worried about the chemistry on the team?
No, and I think, the John Lackey stuff may be a little bit overblown. I mean, there have been some things said about him that may or may not be true. We don't really know what John Lackey's like off the field. On the field, we know he's a tough competitor, always has been, going back all the way to his days with the Angels. When he was a rookie, he pitched on a World Series winning team with the Angels. So, I mean, this guy's been on a lot of winning teams. He knows how to win. You know, he and John Lester were on a Red Sox World Series winning team just 2 years ago. So that's the John Lackey I want to see. The thing I worry a little bit about him is that he is 37. You know, that's the kind of time where a player might start to decline. But, you know, it's a two-year deal. If you get two decent years out of John Lackey, that's fine. And I know he'll go out there and do his best to win, and he's won before. So that's the thing I look for, is for him to bring that winning attitude to the Cubs clubhouse.
Yeah, with the playoff experience that he has, I mean, he's a guy that's going to take the ball and give you his best effort when, you know, they need him in a clutch situation, and he certainly has done it in his entire career. And it's a definite upgrade over what we were going through last year when we had Jason Hamill with his struggles towards the end of last season. And now, you know, he can be pushed back a little further into the rotation, and he'll, you know, be a fourth or fifth guy. And he won't, you know, he could come in and do his job. And you know, with the three guys in front of him, you know, and Hendricks in the mix, I think they're pretty solid right now at the starting position, a pitching position. And they may still be looking for another guy. You know, I've heard some things with Cleveland and a couple other teams that might be willing to part with a starter to fortify the rotation. We'll have to wait and see.
Right, and it wouldn't surprise me also if Jason Hamill gets moved. I know that it didn't seem like Joe Maddon was real happy with Hamill, because Hamill kind of showed his displeasure about being taken out early in some games when he wasn't pitching well. And, you know, the manager did what was best for the team. So I'm wondering whether, you know, the Cubs might try and move on from Jason Hamill if they can. But obviously, if they do, they need to go out and find somebody else, which is maybe one reason why they're still looking for starting pitching.
Well, maybe what they could do is if they could just get someone to come in and pitch the first inning for him and then bring him in. It just seemed like he couldn't get out of his own way in the first inning and a lot of his starts towards the end of the year, and especially in the playoffs then. You know, that big game they had at the end when he came out and gave up four runs early, and that was it. I mean, all the life was taken out of the stadium and the series was over. So it's, you know, I'm interested to see what they do, you know, with him. And if they move him, they move him. I mean, if they've got a better alternative out there, you know, that's just the nature of the business. And, you know, I'm sure he'll move on and he'll pitch well wherever he goes.
Well, that's it. I mean, obviously, they're going to do what's best for the team. If they think Jason Hamill is the best guy for the situation, because he really wasn't, he didn't seem healthy after he got hurt last July. He never really seemed back to 100%. Maybe that was part of the problem. If he's 100% healthy, he had a great first half last year. Maybe he can do it again.
We're talking with Al Yellen, is the managing editor of BleedCubbyBlue.com. And before we let you go, Al, I wanted to mention, too, and commend you with keeping us up to date. We all can't take a drive, you know, by the stadium, but so many different things are changing and happening. Of course, I think the good weather is helping kind of move that stuff along. So before we let you go, you know, as far as, you know, people and fans, Cub experience next season, what are they going to have that's different this year than last?
Well, the whole facade of the front facade of Wrigley Field is going to be changed. Obviously, they took the marquee down. They're going to do some rehab on that. They're going to rebuild the front of the ballpark to kind of echo a look it had in the 1930s. That's supposed to be like the heyday of the ballpark. And plus, the Cubs were going to the World Series a number of years in the 1930s. So that's,
yeah, the great, you know, Stan Hack.
Well, right. And so that's really what's going to be the new look. They're going to finish some things that they didn't quite finish in the bleacher project last offseason. So those will be the main things you'll see. Right now, you know, you said you've seen some of the pictures that we posted, and unfortunately, they're putting up like covers or shrouds. I think this is probably to, you know, get them a little warmer conditions to work in inside. But the ballpark is almost like completely enshrouded, so we're not going to really see a lot of the work that's being done from now until April when you open it up. So it'll kind of be like unwrapping a gift on opening day.
Well, as a fan, as so many Cub fans are, of course, in Chicago, of course, nationally, the Cubs have fans everywhere. It's so great as they look for more information, more kind of interaction with and about the team. And you guys do such a great job at BleedCubbyBlue.com. So kudos to you, Al. Thanks so much, not only for what you do, but for being on the show tonight.
Well, I appreciate that. And if you don't mind me mentioning one more thing, you mentioned Cubs songs at the beginning of our conversation.
Sure.
We have, tomorrow morning coming up, a great parody Cubs song to welcome Jason Heyward to the Cubs. You won't want to miss it.
Is it sung to the tune of what?
I don't give away the secret.
Okay.
Tune in to Bleed Cubby Blue. It'll be up at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. One of the best song parodies we've ever done.
So you got pictures, you got music, you got team, you got Al Yellen, BleedCubbyBlue.com. Al, thanks so much. Have a great night. Enjoy it.
Thanks, Al.
Thanks for having me.
All right, that's Al Yellen, BleedCubbyBlue.com. Of course, when it comes to Cubs, for so many years, Jack Brickhouse was the voice of the Cubs and for so many things in Chicago. But not only was he a voice, he was a guy that collected things. He had things.
Oh, absolutely.
He had items, and he no longer needs them now, and people are starving for a piece of Brickhouse, maybe something that they can keep for themselves. I know, Dino, you were thinking if you could get a hold of one of the microphones.
Listen, if they could get a microphone, there's all kinds of things that Jack probably had in his career that would be of interest to a lot of Cub fans, and I know I would be, just to see what this guy has in his collection.
Stay tuned. We're going to talk with Tom Krupp in just a bit about Jack Brickhouse. It's Daniel in for Patty Vasquez here on 720 WGN. Very festive.
And thank God it's the weekend.
It is the weekend. It is Friday night here on WGN 720. WGN, Dane Neal in for Patty Vasquez. This is a time on the weekend. Of course, we're trying to get a hold of Tom Krupp. Hopefully he can come out and talk about some of the cool Jack Brickhouse items that we'll be able to purchase, right? And then have and kind of incorporate it into our decor. You can put it on the mantle, Dino, and you could say to yourself as people come in, I don't know if you noticed this thing on my mantle, but it was once held by Jack Brickhouse.
Yeah, you know, I'm interested to see what he has and how you would obtain it and what the costs are.
You would obtain it.
You're like, could you ship that right over to me?
You're like Indiana Jones. You're like the Crystal Skull. Who knows? You know, because you figure he had things. You mentioned microphones, things related to broadcasting, but you know, I'm sure he had a lot of other stuff. Oh. And we do have him on the line. It is Tom Krupp. Tom, welcome to WGN. You got him. Let's see. He's on. Hello, Tom. Hello, Tom. Tom Krupp.
Hello.
Hey, there you are. Sorry, that's probably my fault. I mean,
it's mine.
98% chance, or it could be your fault. Thanks for taking the fall on that one.
I'm the person to take the blame.
A great guest right out of the box. He's taking the blame for something.
I will put in an extra 10% on any item from Jack Brickhouse that I buy, just based on the nicety right there. So Tom, first off, people are excited about. People have loved Jack Brickhouse. We lost him a number of years ago, but I mean, an indelible mark in Chicago, not only the sports landscape, the fan landscape, and certainly here at WGN and on the broadcasting side. So tell us a little bit about what you've got.
Well, Mrs. Brickhouse is showing Jack's collection of memorabilia, and it's got stuff from the Cubs, the White Sox, the Bears, and a lot of other interesting sports things that he collected over his career. And he had a long career. As you know, he started in the 1930s in Peoria and came to Chicago and knew everyone and was very, very altruistic and gave his time very freely. So there's things from pretty much every corner of the city.
Well, people, here's the thing that people, and we mentioned a little bit earlier in the program, but people don't necessarily know the full range. You know, you think of him so much and identified, and he certainly was, you know, with the Cubs and with the station, but he, you know, he called, didn't he call Bear games? Him and Irv Kupcinet used to do Bear games.
Back in the 60s, they sure did.
Yeah, he was actually very good friends with Cup, so there's stuff from Cup who, he was a White Sox announcer too, but a lot of people forget that, but I mean, I have a large portrait of him in all White Sox regalia, which surprises, you know, some people because they didn't know. He was there, I think, for 24 years at the White Sox.
Whoa.
Yeah, he went back and forth. Now, did he – I don't remember him being with the team, though, when they won the World Series, though, or when they went to the World Series.
In 45?
No, when they were with the White Sox went in 59.
Oh, 59, that's right.
I think he was with them simultaneously, the two teams. So he's playing both sides of the fence.
Tom, when you're that good, it's like just screw
you're
it.
You're in demand.
Just you're the guy who does that. Well, I think that's great. So let's talk. We know his history was all over the place, and it's so cool to be able to not only hear about some of these items, but have the chance to actually own some of them. So name off a couple of kind of the marquee things that you guys are looking at.
There's so many things. There's probably 500 things in a sale. It's Target Antiquity, but I'd say we've got Billy Williams jersey. There's lots of baseballs. There's letters from famous people. He started on radio and knew Ronald Reagan back then, and they stayed lifelong friends. So it's not just like a picture with him with Ronald Reagan. It has a very personalized note if he ever gets a picture taken with Ronald Reagan. A lot of politicians, too. There's lots of stuff from Mayor Daley, stuff from Gerald Ford. There's some stuff from Nixon. So it just covers almost anything. And any charity in Chicago that asked him to speak, he would always give his time freely. So there's a lot of stuff from different charities, awards and things that he won. There's so much stuff, it's almost hard for me to pick out any highlights.
Tom, how do you assess a price on some of the things? Do you bring them to appraisers? How do you figure out how much that you want to sell these things for? Is it like an auction firm?
No, it's actually a tag sale. So everything is going to have a price on it. And we've been in business for 23 years, and we are active appraisers. So we've been on the appraisal fair and different shows on TV as guest appraisers. So we establish the prices on everything ourselves.
Terrific.
Well, Tom, now here's the thing is, and this, I guess, was a little extra work for you, but of course your expertise would come into play there because it's one thing to have, a signed baseball or it's one, something that's out on the market, maybe has sort of an established value. But when you've got these personal items, right? I mean, how do you decide how much they're worth?
Well, we look for comparables, and we go through auction records. We see what retail prices are. We just evaluate market conditions. That's how we come up with the prices that we have on things. And, to some degree, a little bit of this guesswork, just like, a real estate comp where you try to sell your house. You don't know exactly what you get, but you can judge on, the vicinity of a price that you'll achieve.
But it sounds like amazing things, not only just to see, but certainly to purchase. It's very cool to have, a tag on there. Are all the prices completely firm or are some of them negotiable?
There's some negotiable as the day goes on. At $4.49, we'll probably be willing to sell certain things than others.
Now, Tom, for those people that want to take a look at it and kind of browse some of the items, is there an event where they have to go personally stand there and look at things? Or do you have a website where you have some of the things listed, maybe pictures people could see?
Yeah, we have a website, and it's Koi, Koykrupp, coycorrupt.com, coycorrupt.com, and just follow the directions on the website, and you'll get to a page that gives a photo inventory of what's there.
And can you actually purchase them on the site, or do you have to do...
No. You have to show up for the sale.
You got to show up. So tell us when the sale is, and then one more time with the website.
Okay. The sale is tomorrow. We're giving out numbers at 9. People get in according to when they get there. So we're giving out numbers at 9, and it goes till 5. And the sale is on Old Skokie Road in Highland Park, and it goes from 10 to 5.
So it starts at 9. You get numbers. You get in there, Old Skokie Road in Highland Park. Coykrupp, coykrupp.com.
Yes.
Coykrupp.com is a place where you can see some of the items, a list of them, hopefully some pictures, and then get out there at 9 o'clock. And do you expect to sell everything? And what are you going to do with the things that are left over? Oh, maybe give them to me.
You know, we'll sell everything. We rarely have a problem with stuff left over just because, you know, we do work with people as the day goes on price. And we've got such a nice buzz going, thanks to you guys and everyone else, that we're anticipating everything being sold.
It is exciting stuff, and I hope that so many of those items get into the hands of people who will love them as much as, of course, Jack Brickhouse did, and as much as the city loved Jack Brickhouse. So Tom, thanks so much for everything that you're doing. I hope the sale goes well tomorrow, and thanks for being on WGN.
Thanks a lot, Tom.
Thank you so much. Have a good night.
All right, that Tom Krupp. Now, that's pretty cool. There's a bunch of different things. Imagine, like, a letter from Ronald Reagan.
Well.
Saying, like, hey, I need 2 tickets, you know, or whatever.
And I enjoyed my time in the booth with you, Jack. I don't know what that is, but anyway.
No break right to noon. All right, thanks, Dina. So that is great. So 9 a.m. tomorrow, Old Skokie Road in Highland Park. 720 WGN. It is Daniel in for Patty. From 11 until 2 a.m. tonight, and you hear the music, Dino. It just makes you feel good. It's the giving season. It's the holiday season.
It's time. There's only a few more weeks left.
And you got to get out there and do your shopping. Some people are going to be shopping online, right? Some people are going to be braving the crowds at the shopping mall. Some people are going to be on Skokie Highway in Highland Park, you know, browsing through some Jack Brickhouse items, maybe a photograph of Jack with a George Ryan.
Right, as we found on the website a few moments ago.
What were a couple of the other items that you actually checked?
Pictures with a lot of people. Ronald Reagan. There was all kinds of different. It's going to be, to
Buck Peterson.
There's just, yeah, there was a, like, baseballs that were signed. There were a bunch of them. There were pictures. There were jerseys. And that they didn't even, nothing. There's not a thing you can't think of that's going to be in this list. There's just so many things out here. I can't imagine. The only thing is it's in Highland Park, and that's a long way from where I live.
Well, I'm sure that a lot of people are hoping for a little bit of Brickhouse under the tree or in their holiday gift. But for those people, those kids out there, as you go down the list looking for all the things, you know, Legos, you know, Transformers, Jack Brickhouse.
Microphone.
Jack Brickhouse. For those kids that do not need or require you going out and getting a Jack Brickhouse item, there's so many things out there, but how do you navigate that landscape? How do you give the perfect gift? You know, how do you go ahead and make sure you're giving something that someone will appreciate, that they will love, that they will cherish, that they will thank you for years to come, and maybe lend you money, you know, years from now because of the debt you've given them by making them feel good? Well, on the line with us, we've got Audra Hamlin. She's the CEO of thegiftfirm.com. Audra, welcome to WGN.
Thank you.
So, Audra, this is that time of year where you're going to want to do things on the gift side, and it, you know, not everybody gives gifts all the time, but of course in the holiday time you're going to want to do it right.
Absolutely.
And so what would be some of the things that people would do as far as gifts that are out there now? If you want to be on the cutting edge, you want to be a trendsetter, what are some things as a gift expert that you would say, you know, hey, this is something that's out there now that would really make an impact?
Right. Well, one of the most popular items that's very difficult to find right now is a game called Pie Face. And that's really works for any ages. I believe it's 5 and up. But, you know, grandma can play and the whole family can have fun. And of course, anything Star Wars right now is very popular.
It's called, the other one, it's called Pie Face?
Yes, it's a game called Pie Face. And it's just too much fun. You put whipped cream on this handle and you have to put your face in this cardboard cutout and turn the thing and you never know when it will go off. And then when it does go off,
it's like Russian roulette with pie.
On your face. Yeah, I mean, it's just really fun, and that's why everybody in the family can play, and you know, it's a great thing to do during the holidays with your family.
There's nothing better. You know, and I can remember, I think Norman Rockwell did it best, right, when he painted that one picture of everyone smashing pies in each other's faces.
Yes.
That's outstanding.
Yeah, and it took us this long for somebody to come up with an actual game, and it's the game, the most, you know, popular thing this year. Wow. It's kind of difficult to find right now, but from what I hear, they're trying to get them back in the store.
Pie face. I was, you know, that's why I'm out of touch. That's why we need you, Andre, because, you know, yeah. I was unaware that pie face even existed, much less all the crazy frivolity that could, you know, I could enjoy by. So does anyone ever been hurt by the pie face game?
Not that I know. Not that I know of. I really can't see how anybody would be. But, you know, there's videos on YouTube of, you know, people have been recording their families doing it. And they're just so much fun to watch. And so you can watch those on YouTube. It was just on Ellen the other day with some kids demonstrating it. And it's just hilarious.
Nice. Oh, that is awesome. Okay, so pie face. And if you're lucky enough to have a Star Wars themed pie face, maybe with like
wow. the best of both worlds right there.
There you go. Yeah. Anything, anything Star Wars right now, especially the Millennium Falcon drone, you know, is very popular with the, it's supposed to be for boys or teens, but I think you'll have a hard time getting dad to let you play with it.
Dad, could you give me that drone back?
Yeah.
No chance, Sonny.
Back off, kid.
Yeah, exactly.
You're like with Han Solo talking to the Wookiee, like, let's take a ride. I get it. So,
right.
So do the drones, whether they're Star Wars themed drones or whether they're just drones in general, those are super popular. And so what's the price point on that? For the Millennium Falcon, you got to think that it's, I mean, is there a kind of an entry level drone that maybe is about $50, and then do they go up?
Yeah, the one for the younger, you know, maybe from 8 and up or 10 and up, those are starting in the $50. They don't go real, you know, they go high, but they're not going to interfere with planes or anything like that. So
that's good to
those
know.
Are on the cheaper side.
Wow.
And then they just go on up from there. From my understanding, that you can really get very technical with those and you know, very high end.
Well, you remember the Sully Sullivan bird strike drone that actually did interfere with planes. I mean, he's merchandising himself right now. So one of the things we talked about a little bit earlier on the station was those hoverboards, right? And this is something that's out there, kind of a cool sideways skateboard. You get to do it. But I guess one of the side effects for some of them is that they either explode or burst into flame. That's kind of a downside.
Yes, it is. And it's one of the most popular items. Both teenage boys and girls are wanting those. And it's unfortunate that they're having those issues. And, you know, of course, parents would need to use their discretion. But that is definitely one of the gifts this year are the hoverboards. But they look fun, but not when they catch on fire.
Well, like you said, boys, girls, pyromaniacs, those are your fans.
Yeah, exactly.
You're going to be hoping for one of those under the tree. Now, have you seen or gotten any feedback that that's maybe like certain brands that are out there? Because I did see on the Today Show where they had Razor is, I guess, one of the brands that are doing it. And they made a point to differentiate themselves from it, that theirs did not explode.
Yeah, and I've done a bit of research as well. And I haven't been able to exactly pinpoint down the brands that are really coming out and saying they're the ones having the issues. But I do agree with you that Razor is saying theirs are not. And I don't, from what I've been able to find, it's not every kind. So again, parents will just have to do their research and use their best judgment and, you know, refer to the manufacturers to decide whether it's something safe for their kids or not.
Has it been really anything with the, is it the charging component, or do they have it pinpointed down at least in a, or maybe general, as to what's causing the explosions or the fires to happen?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I haven't heard yet. You know, it'd be nice if they could figure that out soon, because you certainly don't want anyone getting hurt, and you hate that kids get excited for something, you know, so cool, and then right before Christmas they figure out there's an issue. So
right, and then that, I got to go to Plan B, and then what do you do?
It's skin graft.
Yeah, and what's Plan B? Or you have it under the tree, and you're thinking, well, what do I do with this now? So.
Well, sometimes people want to get great gifts for people. That's pretty common. But then sometimes you forget to bring a gift for someone. And this is one of the things that I think is cool about you is you give input and advice on what to do, you know, to avoid that whole gifting disaster. Like, let's say you don't have a gift for someone. I know people, I mean, I think I've had relatives that just had like a list or a whole section of cards for every single occasion that they could just pop out. I'm the guy, of course, like on whatever that day is, or the day after, that's when I'm looking for the card. But some people are prepared. So what should they do if, let's say, they don't have a gift handy?
Yeah, I mean, if you show up somewhere and you didn't realize that...
what, it's your birthday?
Yeah.
The grab bag and you forgot to grab one.
Yeah, you get to their birthday party and didn't realize you were supposed to bring them a gift. I don't really know what to say for that, but you know, there's always situations where you show up and someone might have a gift for you and you didn't think that that was something that you were doing, and really just acting gracious is the best thing instead of apologizing or feeling bad. Just be gracious for the gift they give you, and then afterwards you can send them a nice note or have a gift delivered to them as a, you know, a reciprocating gift that they gave for you. So there's easy solutions. I just don't.
So you just gloss it over. Wow, thank you. And then they're like, what about me?
Yeah.
You shouldn't say left it in the car or something.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing is that if I were to give somebody a gift and they didn't get me one, I'm giving them a gift because that's what I wanted to do. And you just want them to like and appreciate what you got for them. And I don't think most people necessarily are looking for the gift back as much as they are just wanting to give something to someone else. And the best way to avoid that is to, you know, just if you're unsure, then stop and buy a bottle of wine, even some flowers. You can take some a homemade baked good, you know, something simple. Doesn't have to be elaborate. And, of course, then you could be the one on the other end where they're having to figure out what to say to you.
Well, you're giving suggestions of things for people to get. I get that. That's wonderful. Mm-hmm. Pie face, right? I'm going to go out and...
Tremendous.
Yeah, I know you said that some of the stores are sold out, so I'm going to do what I can to search for pie. Maybe I'll make my own. Maybe I'll craft my own pie face. But are there some things out there that are sort of popular? Maybe the commercials are kind of luring people into buying them, or there's that they shouldn't get? Are there some gifts out there to avoid other than, of course, the exploding, you know, hovercraft? But so what things would you say don't get this for people?
I would say the biggest thing is don't buy gifts for people because that's something you would want, because, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean it's something they would like. Don't buy a tie for someone that's always in a t-shirt and jeans because you like to wear ties. Probably the biggest advice. I mean, you can see all the commercials and you know, read all the gift lists, and you kind of get caught up in what you think is cool, and people can tend to forget what the person they're giving it to, whether that's something they would actually like or not. And you know, my grandma used to give pajamas every year, and that's great. But I became six toddler, and it was six toddler every year. Even though, you know, it was like, he just kind of got stuck in liking that size of pajamas and forgot that I was, you know, each year maybe could get me a size bigger. So,
Audra,
that's another onesie, boy. Oh boy!
Yeah, exactly.
First pie face, and then you have perpetual child pajamas given to you. This isn't typical, I don't think.
Yeah. I have three boys. It's always a game here. So,
any chance to re-gift some of those pajamas from your childhood to your boys?
Yeah, no. Oh.
So thegiftfirm.com, Audra Hammond. Of course, you're the CEO. Now, we know that, like, sometimes you can't always go to the store and buy the gift, that you could get it from you. Don't you? You have your own things that you make.
Yes, we do. We have some gift boxes that we put together. The thing I like doing is helping people come up with really specialty gifts for family members. One was for a grandma who had come over on a ship from Ellis Island, and we found a picture on the internet of the ship and had that blown up and framed for her, and that was, you know, a wonderful gift. She hadn't seen that ship since she was a little girl. So that was a great, you know, gift idea.
That is pretty cool.
And then another person, it was their family had come from Germany, and during the war, a lot of things, you know, were destroyed from family. So where most families would have grandma's handwritten recipes passed down, they didn't have anything like that. And we were able to track down some family members that still lived there after all these years, and they actually had a recipe card. So we were able to get that and and give that to her, which was, you know, from a great grandma that was, it was very old, and that was something that nobody in the family had ever had. So really trying to find those touch point gifts that are very unique and very difficult to re-gift.
Sentimental ones, you know, those are always key. Those are the ones people remember.
Well, and you said difficult to re-gift too. And I know this may sound kind of crazy, but this may be a way to additionally personalize the situation is with the, through the magic of Photoshop, you could take the picture of that ship and actually Photoshop grandma on the deck.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You can do so. And people are so creative. You know, that you could do all sorts of things with it. You could put their birthday. You can put pictures of them, their family, you know, whatever you can find. You really can get very creative.
That sounds okay. It sounds great. And there's been so much great advice, so many great suggestions. And of course, the ones that you are making yourself at thegiftfirm.com. So, Audra, for people want to get in touch with you, get some advice from you, and maybe get some gifts from you, where can they go?
To thegiftfirm.com or email at gifts@thegiftfirm.com.
Audra Hamlin, you are the CEO, and thanks so much for being on WGN tonight.
Thank you guys so much, and I just wanted to remind everybody to donate to Toys for Tots. They're running low this year, so just as a reminder, try and drop something off in those bins.
All right, thanks. That's great. See, that as far as the re-gifting, you could not, and we'll tell people now, because I think if it has to be stuff still in the packages, so if you did have one of those pictures of Grandma on the deck, you wouldn't want to throw that into the Toys for Tots bin.
No, of course not.
720 WGN. We are going to take a quick break. It is Dane Neal in for Patty Vasquez all night. Another great topic coming up. Dino, you've got your football picks coming.
Well, we're going to be doing those in a little bit, Dane. Yeah, it's we're getting towards the end of the season, so it's starting to get the crunch time. So we'll be doing that later, a little bit later on.
Wow, exciting. 720 WGN. 720 WGN, it is Dane Neal in for Patty Vasquez until 2 a.m. Powell going up against the Pelicans. Now, when you think about, you know, formidable mascot names, the Pelican, I mean, because you wonder how some of these things happen. You know, if anything like a, you know, cougar, eagle, you know, something tough, something cool, but a pelican.
Yeah, that's really not, doesn't really sound very formidable to me, the mighty pelican. Is he going to do beak you to death? I don't, how does that work?
That's a technical term. Yes, I see you've been watching Animal Planet, you know, the beaking.
Well, of course.
The beaking. So, well, maybe the Pelicans are looking for a new name under the tree or for their holiday present. But I love that Audra brought up Pie Face, the Pie Face game. And Craig has been in.
Oh, my God.
So what is it?
Pie Face. Okay, so I fell into kind of a Google hole there. As soon as she said the Pie Face game, I had to look up what that is. There's a 1960s version of this game.
Were the Three Stooges involved in that?
I think the Three Stooges, yeah. But there's a 1960s version of this game. It's identical to what I guess is flying off the shelves now. You sit there with a little cutout. You put your face in the cutout, and there's a little whipped cream thing in front of you. And you turn this little bar, and all of a sudden it shoots
flips
into your face.
Hits you in the face.
Yeah, so you trade around the room of people.
So it's a dessert-themed Russian roulette?
Exactly correct.
There it is.
That is exactly what it is.
Now, is there a recommended pie? Because my concern was, has anyone been hurt? Because here's the thing. As a kid, we got toys, and we loved the toys, and they had batteries, and then they would run out, and then we wouldn't have any batteries. So I'm thinking I would run out of pies pretty quick. And then what would other people use?
So I found a commercial from the 1960s version of the game, and it's just whipped cream. It's not actually a pie. And so
gotcha,
I think that the one they're putting out now, it's not actually the full-on pie. It's just a little bit of whipped cream.
Okay, because I think what would I use as a kid? It would be the fire extinguisher. And that could
that wouldn't be very fun then.
That's hilarious, though. There's so many people posting YouTube videos playing the game, and it's really funny. The little kids wind up getting hit more than the adults, which I think is, I'm enjoying that.
Do they have like the round table of people playing? And then
there's
they go
three or
from
four people sitting there and they're playing the game.
Out.
It's hilarious.
Oh, well, see, that's good. I was not even aware that it existed at all.
Right.
So 312-981-7200. If you've got a cool gift that's out there that you want to share with people, just as Audra did with Pie Face, or even a cool gift that you had that you thought was really thoughtful that other people could do. I really did like the whole Ellis Island ship, and then you know, Grandma on the. I mean, that was just an extra thing I just thought of. You know,
it's a lot of creativity involved in all that stuff, and I'm sure there's somebody, you know, people out there that have done similar things that we could take advantage of.
Yep. 312-981-7200. Give your gift suggestion. We're going to talk about that. And anybody who texts in or calls in with that, you're going to be entered to win. We talked about it yesterday. Two VIP passes for Beer Fest Beatdown. Dino, I don't know if you remember because it's been almost 24 hours exactly what was going on there, but it was the rare combination. It could be. I think this could be a gift. You could gift these tickets.
It keeps on giving, Dane.
Yeah, it's Christmas and craft beer and also professional wrestling, and you've got a Tito Santana there along with a Nikolai Volkoff.
Yeah, it's hard to beat that combination and the fact that there was the sidelight that we discussed of the Roadhouse issue. So
not an issue.
Well, the suite or the room?
Well, the brand of entertainment being looped inside the designated driver suite.
There it is.
Is Roadhouse and the original version of Roadhouse, not the new and improved version or even a pantomime acted out version or anything with puppets. No, it's the one that you know and love with Patrick Swayze.
Right. That's going to be a special gift. Whoever gets to get one of those VIP packages, you're in for a good time. There's no question about it.
I think a wrapped up VHS copy of Roadhouse Under the Tree would make just about anybody happy. And of course, a Bears victory would make people happy too. So when we come back, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to have Dino's got his football picks as we get into the NFL weekend. Hopefully the Bears can do what, Dino, turn it around?
Well, they're going to have to. They at least try to get to the 500 mark. Washington, a team that gave away a game on Monday night themselves, so it's going to be interesting to see two mediocre teams going against each other come Sunday afternoon in Soldier Field. So.
I think just an entire team of just pie face. Just do that. Because people can get hurt. We've established
if the game stinks, you can go right to the other table and start up the old pie face. I think it'll be fun.
We'll talk about it after the break. It is Dane Neal in for Patty Vasquez on 720 WGN. 720 WGN. It is Dane Neal in for Patty Vasquez until 2 a.m. here. Of course, Craig is in the booth. Dino is to my right. And I wanted to ask, Roger, do you have like a go-to gift that you give that you're kind of known for? And then what is it that you're hoping to get? I mean, you can put it out there right now. What are you hoping to get this year?
Well, let's see. There's not enough money in the world to give to me. So I'm not going to get... Can we get serious for a second?
Sure.
Okay. I've already gotten my gift, and I got it a year ago October, and that was a chance at another life, cured of cancer, and after my operation, and so I'm happy camper.
There it is.
This year, the gift has also been given because my wife... As I was recovering from cancer, my wife got cancer, and she has just finished her last chemo treatment. So there's the gift to me. So we're fine. We're just happy for that. We're happy that our kids are healthy. Our grandkids are healthy. My dad's 98.
Wow.
And I'm Here's my present to him. Get there more often. Spend more time with him. My go-to gift through the years changes every year. I don't have a go-to gift.
So people don't expect, like, you know, Roger's, you know, crumb cake or something like that.
No, if Roger had a crumb cake, Roger would eat that crumb cake before it got sent anywhere. It changes every year. It's whatever we feel like. And like this year, it's, you know, it's like, all right, what do we have the energy for? Because we're both, I'm still feeling the effects of the chemo. So my energy level is not where it was 3 years ago. And my wife's energy level is kind of low. So we're trying to figure out what do we want to do. And I'm now retired from teaching.
Congratulations.
So, the incomes change, people's needs or wants change. I really don't have a go-to gift. And my wife doesn't either as far as like stuff we send out.
Right.
You know, so I'm not sure.
Well, first off, the blessings, and that is, you know, and congratulations on the good health and the blessings for that, and certainly blessed to have your dad still with you at 98.
Just amazing.
And if you guys are open to, you say you change it up every year, if you're open to like a new gift, I have to suggest pie face.
Because, you know, when you guys, when I put my headsets back on and I heard you guys were talking about that, I knew immediately what you're talking about. I saw that video about 3-4 months ago, the newer one, of the father and the little boy, and the two of them just cracking up. It wasn't a commercial. It was like someone actually using it. And it was the funniest thing I've ever seen. I need to get that for my grandkids. Well, that's what we're going
to
get.
We need to get Pie Face on board here at WGN. Well, Craig, not only has he seen the video and relayed some of the fun that people are having, but mm-hmm. he printed out a picture that looks like it's probably from the back of the box. And what you have is you have a father mm-hmm. with his arm around his son has his face into this
getting ready to be launched upon with this.
Right. Getting ready to just... I mean, it's kind of small and in front of you, and it looks as though you just turned this level, and you might as well just take a spoon and hit yourself in the face, really, because...
But it's the suspense. Like, you turn the crank, and it doesn't move, and then you turn it again, and it doesn't move. I guess there might be a spinner or something, like you have to crank it 3 times or 8 times or whatever, and you do it, and...
Oh, yeah, there looks like there's a spinner right in front of you.
See, there. Okay. So you spin... And that's how many cranks you have to do. And you never know when it's going to slap up at you.
We have to remember, this is flying off the shelves. They can't keep this in stores. Pie Face. I mean, somebody's getting rich this year off of that game.
Well, yeah. And I think, let's say, if you're one of those kind of Rain Man casino card counter guys, can you beat this? Or is there like a,
no way.
Like a slot machine level?
No way. No.
It's like you're next, Grandma.
And once you're locked in with your face in there, there's no way to get out of there. You're done.
Well, the trick is to try to move your face as quick as possible when you think it's coming up at you. It's kind of like a flinch, you know? And have you ever played the flinch game? Where you put your hands right, and you miss, and you slap them.
Is that anything like the Hertz Donut game?
Yeah, exactly. That's what it is, Hertz Donut.
Roger, you're breaking all the rules of Pie Face. You can't move your face from the pie area.
Duck, honey,
that's
here it
what
comes.
You tried
There's
to do.
Two rules to Pie Face.
Well, I think the first one is don't talk about Pie Face.
We have broken that rule.
Right. Oh, man.
Yes. Oh, my. You can't move fast enough because that thing just snaps. I've seen the video. It snaps so fast, there's no way you can move. You are halfway through your thought of, I should move my face, when it's too late.
Done. Well,
that's what it is.
What is the velocity of the pie, coming at you? I mean, does it look as though anyone could get hurt?
I don't. Not if. Well, if you're using a plate of metal, maybe.
Yeah, I think it depends on the object you put in the hand that's being launched toward your face.
Well, no, Craig.
If you go off book, there could be a lot of problems.
Well, I mean, people, we've talked about it. Be creative with your presence and with the things that you do. So I think there probably should be, just like it says on the McDonald's cup, it's hot, don't pour it in
right,
your lap.
Right, exactly.
So
yeah.
Maybe it should say, like, use with only pie-related, no shards of glass,
Bag of glass. Remember that from Saturday Night Live? The gifts with Bill Murray?
Oh, yeah, that
right?
was a classic.
It was the toy company executive.
It was a Bass-O-Matic, right?
Yeah.
All the good. Hey, those are still great gifts. Wow, this is suggestions. All right, thanks, Roger. We appreciate
it. Okay, sure.
Pie Face. All right, well, I guess what we probably should do, because we're going to talk about Dino's NFL picks. Do you want to preview one before we go to break, or do we want to take a break and come back, and then you can get right into it?
No, we'll come back and just roll them all out, unless you really want to. You want one, I can give you one. Nah, we'll wait.
All right, when we come back, Dino's going to preview the NFL season, maybe give you some suggestions as far as some of the fantasy football stuff, and we're going to talk a little Bears football. Hopefully they can turn it around and get a victory. It's Daniel in for Patty Vasquez on 720 WGN. I. 720 WGN. Daniel in for Patty Vasquez until 2. Crazy Train. And we've been on a crazy train with this Pie Face thing, and we did
$14.99. Dane found out.
Oh, okay, I was going to say
from Hasbro. I found it online.
Somebody texted in how much is it?
Marked down from $29.99 at Toys R Us. But they don't have any.
I just picture people playing the game with something like that playing in the background. Crazy Train. It's really getting psyched about Pie Face.
And a bottle of Jack next to him. No. All right, who's next?
That's great. I mean, I think fun for all ages, right? fun for
yeah, absolutely
fun for all. And they probably have like a family version, you know, where you know, I don't know, maybe it's on a track and it rolls around and maybe it's bigger, right? Because this one seems kind of small.
Yeah, it looks a little. That looks small there, and it, you know, maybe they have an adult version where they, you know, they could bigger faces get in it. I don't know. This kid squeezes right in there. It looks like so.
Okay, so $14.99, that's good. I think it's affordable on any budget. Everybody can have this brand of fun.
That is, that's endless fun right there for everyone, including grandma.
That's Pie Face. Okay, we've done our work for Pie Face.
That's right.
Now, the Bears, and of course, have been on a train that has led to a lot of stops, right? And on those stops, usually there's a loss waiting for them, especially when they're playing at home. They've had a hard time kind of winning at home. But so what's wrong with the Bears? Because I think everybody agrees, you know, coaching-wise, they're lucky to have John Fox, Fangio. I mean, they've got a good team there on the coaching staff.
Well, they've made some – it just seems like every when these losses at home, it's really just it's tough to figure out because you think that's where you should be thriving and winning most of your games, and they're not doing that. I mean, you know, they lost another one last week to San Francisco, and it's just, you know, it's one thing after another. It's like, you know, you just can't get out of your own way when things, you know, when you should be able to win a game that you have control over and you're against an inferior team. And you don't put the pedal down and get it done, it's just disappointing. And that's where they're at right now as they go into this weekend's game with Washington.
Well, I think the NFL has been trying to get parity in place for a long, long time. And they kind of, I mean, these are professionals too. They get paid to play the game. They're good too. And so even though they're inferior record-wise, I think any team can jump up and beat another team on a given day, on any given Sunday, right? but you figure you got Robbie Gould's going to be up there. I mean, he's probably your best shot. You want that opportunity anytime.
I mean, they did it. The coaching staff did it right to the letter. I mean, they ran the clock down. You know, a guy's been automatic pretty much his whole career, comes out there. He's missed one earlier in the game. You don't think he's not going to miss another one, especially in this for this distance to win the game. And, you know, someone said whether he had a new snap, a new long snapper to
new set of
to
laces.
Work with. Right. But you know what? He missed that kick because he missed it. It wasn't the snap was fine. The hold was down. He just flat out missed it left.
He'd be the first to admit that. He's a guy that, you know, he makes no excuses. He's Robbie Gould.
Yeah, absolutely right.
So what's going to happen? Let's go through some of the picks. They're playing it. Was it the Redskins this week?
Yeah, they're playing the Redskins. We'll get to that in a minute. I'm going to start with Atlanta.
Start with Pie Face.
We're going to start with, we're going to start with Atlanta and Carolina. I do have to say, you know, I have a battle in my own household first, Dane. My girlfriend Dawn and I do these picks every week. We've been doing it for the last couple of seasons.
Just a friendly wager?
No, there's really no money or anything involved. We just do it just for pride. And last year, it was a bad one. Had a tail between the legs. She beat me by double-digit games last year. But this year, things are a little bit tighter. I'm only a couple games we're within a couple games of each other, so it's been a lot better.
I know,
this
Dawn.
Year.
She's pretty in tune. But would you chalk it up as someone? Of course, she's probably sleeping, so she can't hear that. But was it just luck? You know, like they have that one, like the octopus that picks the Super Bowl games or something.
No, she's a diehard Bears fan. She knows her stuff. She's very intuitive when it comes to football. I mean, you know, she. Does she very businesslike when she does the picks? She looks at the records, looks at who's playing where, and makes some good choices. So, but I've made mine this week, and we'll see how it pans out when you know after we both get ours together for the weekend. But I'll run down the games here quickly. Atlanta at Carolina. I think Carolina goes to 13-0. I mean, Atlanta's been struggling for the last several weeks, so it's. I think that's going to be Carolina going to 13-0. Well, there.
Ron Rivera, of course, you know, Chicago ties, and he's a guy that that you got to root for. Carolina, is it all? And people have said, hey, they're going to run the table, and it's schedule, right? They've got an easy schedule.
Yeah, they could do it. The regular season, they should be able to get through this unscathed, and then we'll see what happens in the playoffs. I don't, you know, anticipate them running into any trouble between now and the end of the year.
I think those Dolphin guys, you know, they're kind of always crabby, wanting everyone to lose. Don't they have like a party where they
pop
champagne?
All drink champagne as soon as, and Mercury Morris is already talking about it. He doesn't think that Carolina's got what it takes to get it done.
It's,
so
it's one thing to like to lose that kind of the solitude of being undefeated to maybe a Belichick Patriots team, but the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah, the Panthers. I never would have thought this in a million years that they'd be undefeated this late in the season. But there they are, and I think they're going to take Atlanta. You know, Matt Ryan's really struggled for the Falcons from a fantasy football perspective, and he's been kind of a disappointment the last several weeks. But we'll go on to the next game. It's Buffalo at Philadelphia. LeSean McCoy going against his old team, and I think that Buffalo is going to have their hands full, but I think they're going to win the game by a field goal and a close one on the road. It's going to be Philadelphia. You just don't know. You know, 1 week they're on. They're kind of like the Bears. You know, you don't know what you're going to get. And Chip Kelly's had his problems all season long. I think he's going to end up going back to college after the season's over.
to learn how to be a better coach? you mean be a coach?
Be a coach in the college ranks as opposed to the professional, because there's been a lot of problems there in Philadelphia.
Well, on the Buffalo side, you know, they've got the patriotic colors. It's red, white, and blue. You'd like to see that. Plus, of course, the much maligned, you know, Bison, right? You know, so much trouble over the years trying to come back from near extinction. So it's good to see Buffalo playing well. And then just Philadelphia. These are just sour people. But, I mean, for the most part. No, nothing against...
Well, they have a jail in their stadium. They, you know...
They booed Santa.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, you know what you're going to get when you go into Philly to watch a game.
Andy Reid did amazing. Granted, he did not win a Super Bowl, but he did some great things, was a quality coach, and just wasn't good enough. So that's what they get.
Pittsburgh at Cincinnati. They're going to be battling for the, you know, Cincinnati's, I believe, 10-2 right now. And Pittsburgh's 7-5, so there's a couple game gap. Pittsburgh's been playing well. Ben Roethlisberger's been throwing the ball all over the place, and I think that Pittsburgh is going to come through and win that game on the road against Cincinnati, because I just think their offensive firepower is going to be too much for the Bengals to win that one.
Well, you act like you're contemplating it like on the fly here. So are you looking at it? Is it, you know, I think the wheels are turning in there. You're trying to assess, you know, okay, how are they on special teams? Like, how do you come to some of these decisions?
Well, I've just watched Pittsburgh play the last couple of weeks, and, you know, they've been able to pretty much do whatever they wanted on offense. Now, Cincinnati has a good defense and they're at home. But I still think Pittsburgh, if Roethlisberger's healthy and he's on the field, I think they should be able to get that one done. So San Francisco at Cleveland, don't really care about that one way or the other, but I'm going to go with the Browns at home with Johnny Manziel back at quarterback.
Is he back playing?
He's playing again. They finally have reinstalled him as the quarterback.
Wow. Johnny Manziel is one of those guys, you know, he has his demons, right? You know, and a girlfriend that whatever, you know, I mean, he's got issues, right? He was in rehab and then he was just crazy, and I don't think he's played like really, really well.
No, he struggled, and they've benched him, you know, when he had another incident, you know, that came to light a couple of weeks ago, and they said, well, they buried him as the third string quarterback. And then the first two, the first quarterback got hurt, McCown, and then the second one was bad. So it's like, well, come on, Johnny, we're gonna have you save the rest of our season here. Come on back in. So he's back playing again, and he's gonna be starting this weekend. So we'll see.
Is he gonna turn around? I mean, like,
I don't know. I really don't think
he's a good player.
No. I don't think so. I think there was a lot of hype with him. There's a lot of college players that come out that are, you know, great college players, but then when they get to the pros, they just don't pan out. And I think his fate was sealed right when he got out into the NFL and he was having the problems that he did right out of the gate. So
plus he's little.
Yeah, that's true. Detroit at St. Louis. I think Detroit takes that one. The Rams have struggled on offense. I don't know what Jeff Fisher's doing, to be honest with you. I think they have a great running back in Todd Gurley, and they haven't been utilizing him, and their pass game is terrible. And they do have a good defense, though, so I think that it's going to be a close game because Detroit will score a little bit, but I still think Detroit will take that one. Tennessee at New York Jets. I think the Jets will take that one at home. Indianapolis at Jacksonville. Jacksonville's been getting some good quarterback play out of Blake Bortles. I think that the Jets or the Jaguars will take that one in at home against the Colts. Kansas City hosting San Diego. I think Kansas City wins that one. San Diego is another disappointing team this year with a lot of injuries, and you know, right now Phillip Rivers is another guy like Matt Ryan who's struggled a lot. So
the window is closing, and you figure they would have been able to do it at some point, just never kind of matched up with being able to beat the other teams in the AFC and get it done.
Yeah, they just, you know, Rivers, they just gave him a contract extension, and his offensive line's all banged up, his best receiver's out for the season, so it's a recipe for disaster, and I think they're going to get beat at Kansas City. The Saints at Buccaneers. New Orleans is another one. Just defensively, they're just terrible. Tampa Bay's been playing decently lately. Jameis Winston's been playing pretty well, so I think Tampa's going to take that one. I think Lovie's going to get another win, and they're going to. I think the Bears are coming up for them on the road. The Bears go to Tampa next, so that's how that's going to work out. But we'll probably Let's see how many other ones we have left here. We've got Seattle. I think Seattle will beat Baltimore on the road. Denver will beat the Raiders. The Packers will beat the Cowboys. The Patriots over the Texans. And Miami over the Giants. And finally, last but not least, the Bears will beat the Redskins this weekend. Nice. I am going against my better judgment and taking the Bears at home against Washington this weekend.
It'll be nice to see Bears actually kind of trying to win at home, and so you're going to throw a party, right? Because it's always an exciting occasion when the Bears can win. So if it's a Bears victory party, which is rare, or a holiday party, you're going to want to know the etiquette, right? You know, you're going to want to know how to behave yourself, how to be a good host, how to be a good attendee, how not to embarrass yourself.
Well, exactly, because your antics at these parties, Dane, you have to be careful.
Yep, and those parties are coming, but you're going to find yourself in those situations with coworkers and friends and families. You're going to want to know what to do. When we come back from the news break, we've got an etiquette expert that's going to fill us in on exactly how to handle those situations. It is Dane Neal in for Patty Vasquez on 720 WGN. 720 WGN. It is Dane Neal in for Patty Vasquez tonight until 2 a.m. And we're talking a little bit about everything, you know, reasons people are excited, reasons people might celebrate, gifts, pie face. We did, you know, we talked about all that stuff. But holiday parties are coming up. And like, Dino, do you have any holiday party like mishaps or crazy things that happened that kind of word to wise to some of the
not that I can remember. I did have a incident where I spilled some wine at a party, you know, white carpet years ago, but besides that,
as long as you didn't get it on you,
well, right? No, I got plenty in me that
night. In you, well, that's fine. In you is fine.
That was fine, but yeah. On the white carpet, probably not so much.
Roger, any holiday party advice that you may have for the listeners?
You know what? Just go have fun. Seriously, don't worry about what you're wearing that happens to be the same dress another woman at the place is wearing.
I never worry about that.
That your mate is eyeing someone else in a way that you're jealous of. Don't, like, pick through the food thinking, oh, she's serving this. I mean, seriously, just go and enjoy yourself. Let everything go. Let it go.
Just throw the Kool and the Gang album on and just kick back.
There you go.
Craig, anything holiday party-wise, any do's, don'ts, experiences that you've had that people could use?
You know, I want to answer your question, but Roger was about to sing from Frozen, I think.
Yeah, he started to. I heard Let It Go.
He started to just go off there. I feel like that's what we need to focus on right now.
I don't think so. No.
Does that happen often, Roger?
That was a spur of the moment kind of thing. It really was, because I just, you know, I said, you know, just enjoy yourself and don't worry and just let it go.
Roger's like, do you want to build a snowman?
No, because I have to then drive through it to park my car in the back and get stuck in the snow.
So we don't have all the answers. Of course, we want to let it go and enjoy ourselves and have fun in the holiday season. You want to do the right thing. You don't want to do the wrong thing. Here to kind of fill in some of those gaps and give us some advice, she's from the Protocol School of Texas. She's a modern manners and etiquette expert and an author, the one and only Diane Gossman. Welcome to WGN.
Thank you, Dane. Nice being here.
First off, I've got to commend you. You know, etiquette, proper etiquette, even in an interview setting, is important. And here you are on a landline. You don't see that all the time.
Well, I had to borrow this landline. I'm visiting a friend, and they weren't even sure if it worked. So, you know, cell phones are the way to go these days, but I think it's important to accommodate your guests, and they did. I am a guest here tonight.
You always hear those funny stories when people are physicians and people constantly come up to you and ask them, like, hey, what's this rash? Do people do that with you, where they're going to find themselves in a different situation, and they say, Diane, how do I handle it?
You know, they do. So often they do. They're worried that I'm going to be judging them or watching what they're doing, and I always, always tell them that I am not watching unless you pay me, and then I can criticize you all I want. It's really about making other people feel comfortable, and if I made them feel uncomfortable, then boo on me. So it really is about all of us, especially during the holidays, knowing how to be a good guest and how to make ourselves interesting, because that's what the host wants from us.
So make yourself interesting. Maybe a bright colored sweater, maybe something blinking would be
okay,
one of the things.
Okay, well, maybe not. That's not exactly what I meant, unless it's an ugly sweater party. But I mean, do your research. If you know you're going to a party, ask who some of the guests are going to be. And if you don't know them, you know, do a little research on them. You know, so find out, you know, where they work, what they do. Do they write a blog? Have they recently been quoted in the paper? You know, just something so you have something to talk about. You know, it. You cannot say in 2015, about to be 2016, oh, I'm just an introvert. I'm just not good at communication. Because all you have to do is turn on the computer and do a little research and learn what's going on. And that's the information that you're going to bring up. Although you want to stay away from politics at the holiday party and the holiday table.
Well, you often hear people saying that they're at a party and, you know, they may not necessarily exactly know what to do. And there isn't kind of training for that. I don't know that there's classes for it. Of course, you guys do it over the Protocol School of Texas. But is that one of the things that maybe growing up, either your parents taught you what to do or how to do it, or they didn't, that so many people come to you completely unarmed for those situations?
Well, I will tell you, you know, when our parents teach us or they send us to a manners class when we're 11 or 12, it doesn't stop there. So as an adult, if you say, well, I learned this when I was 12, a lot happens between 12 and 21, 12 and 41. So you have to grow. Your skills have to grow along with you. And your parents aren't necessarily teaching you adult-level skills. So this is really important training because it's human dynamics training. So for example, at a networking event or a business function or a holiday party, you have to know where to, what side to wear your name tag. You wear it on the right-hand side to follow the line of sight of that handshake. So when I shake your hand, Dane, you've introduced me to, or you've introduced yourself to me, and if I forget your name, I can just glance at your shoulder as opposed to looking across to your other side of your shoulder where it looks obvious that I forgot your name.
I never even thought of that. I mean, these are the little, you know, touches that I think are subliminal that people, I think it puts you at an advantage, but you would never necessarily think of some of those things. Give us a couple other positive things that kind of fly under the radar but would be good to know.
Sure. Okay. So when you walk up to someone, well, first of all, at a party, you shouldn't be sitting down. You should be up mixing and mingling and really, you know, dancing for your supper. You
Diane, know, what if the supper. Chairs, what if the chairs are incredibly comfortable? I mean, what if that's part of it?
Well, okay, you still have to get up and get moving. Your host is watching and wants to see people that are connecting. And one of the tips is you don't stay close to people you know. You reach out and you meet new people and don't wait for people to come up to you. You don't want to be seated. You want to be mixing and mingling and walking around, and ladies should stand up just like men should stand up. If you're seated and a man stands up to shake your hand, women should stand up as well. It shows respect for yourself and respect for the other person. Now, that's a business etiquette rule because in business, men and women are gender neutral. So a woman would stand just like a man. But even socially, I say, if you can, you know, if you're seated at a table where you can stand, sometimes you're at a restaurant, you can't get up, you're in a booth, you always want to stand because it really shows self-confidence. We don't know what we don't know.
So this is a way to not only just attend these things and not embarrass yourself, but also succeed at these parties. So you've got to do a little bit of recon, kind of Google some of the people, have some conversation starters built in that are key to the people, mix and mingle, get in there and kind of meet new people, right? Share, especially if it's business, networking is important.
Exactly. Name tags on your right and be the first one to extend your hand for the handshake. Don't wait. The person that extends their hand first has the power, and by power I mean respect. I'm not talking about aggressive kind of power, but just really showing that they're interested in the other person.
So the handshake should be relatively firm, but not so firm that you're trying to prove a point that you could take them.
Exactly. You don't want to give somebody a vice grip. And you know, believe it or not, Dane, men have a weaker handshake oftentimes because when they're shaking a woman's hand, they back up. You know, they soften up the grip a little to be respectful. But what happens is the woman is thinking, oh, that was kind of wimpy. So you want to make it firm but not over firm for both men and women. And there's a little flap of skin between your index finger and your thumb. We're like a duck. It's a web. And you want to connect that web. You want to go straight into their hand so your web connects to their web.
Nice. See, this is great. We're working on the physical properties of the handshake. I think that's good as well. Okay, so for a business situation, you got to get out there, mingle, got to talk to people, do some recon. But in an inner business situation, let's say at the company party where everybody's stressed out You know, they always see people in kind of a work setting and in a work environment. And now here they get to, you know, go off, maybe go to the Applebee's and have that holiday party.
Oh,
let their hair down. I think it's one thing to succeed at a party, but Diane, can you help people not completely fail where they're, you know, waking up that next day saying, what have I done?
Oh, yes. Don't drink too much. Just because you're allowed to let your hair down, that doesn't mean you let it fall out. You need to be aware of your image. At a social situation, in a corporate situation, you are always responsible for how you are perceived. And so you don't want to over-imbibe. You want to drink 1 to 2 glasses. You know, that sounds like, oh my gosh, I want to have a great time at the party. I just don't want to be a teetotaler. But you want to make sure that you're not the conversation on Monday, you know, at the office, at the water cooler.
That's an important distinction. So what is too much? Maybe just 1 drink, 2 drinks. And should you stay a very long time? Because it seems the longer you stay, then I think it invites more problems.
Exactly. You don't want to be the first to leave, and you don't want to be the last to leave. So stay. You know, you can start watching when people start leaving. That's the time for you to get your coat, get your sweater, and take your leave as well. So, you know, you want to make sure that you're not slipping out the back without saying goodbye to your host. And certainly, most importantly, is you want to show up. Just because it's an office party doesn't mean you can skip it, because really, you never want to miss an office party. You know, that shows your team support.
Well, and you never know when you'll need an alibi, too.
That's right.
I'm just kidding. No, so, okay, these are normal situations. You've helped people out as far as trying to figure out some of the do's and some of the don'ts in the office, you know, and the office party situation. So what's the oddest thing that somebody came to you where they said, what about this, Diane? I've got this situation. What's the etiquette? Where maybe you even had to kind of Google or do some research to help.
Oh, Google and do some research. You know, I tell you, I have seen it all throughout the years. And this isn't anything you have to Google or do research about, except every year I get the same question. What happens when I'm with my new spouse or mate and my ex-wife or husband are going to be at the party? Because oftentimes we over, you know, our businesses and our social situations overlap.
Yeah.
And I always say, you're cordial, be polite, don't avoid them. If you pass them, you don't have to go up and sit with them at the table, but if your paths cross, say hello and greet both your ex and the new mate, and keep going. Just that shows self-confidence, that shows dignity, and it shows that you're civil and you know how to behave.
It helps, too, not to over-imbibe, because those situations can get kind of charged. You know, if you're out of control or out of your element. What I meant was, is anyone said, like, you know, Diane, I'm going to meet with the Dalai Lama. You know, what do I do?
You know, no one has said that to me. But you never know. You know, I think that most people have normal situations. You know, there's always going to be something, but I think that you have to be able to roll with the punches. You know, if you do meet with the Dalai Lama, or if you do meet with a president, or if you do meet with somebody high-ranking and very important, you are going to do your very best to show respect. And certainly, if you know in advance you're going to meet with these people, you're going to do your research. If you're going to another, if they are from another country, or you're going to another country, you want to study their customs.
No, that's right. No, that is great advice. Yeah, study the customs so you can be prepared for it. And, of course, all those normal, you know, just kind of be cordial, be polite, and all the things that would be necessary in a situation like that. Like, be a regular person, too, right? People are going to expect that from you. She is at the Protocol School of Texas. She is a modern manner and etiquette expert and, of course, an author. Do you want to, Diane, talk about the book before we go?
Well, the book is Pearls of Polish, and it was written for women, and men loved it so much that it went into an additional printing, and we added many chapters on men. And, you know, I will tell you, for me, as important, and it's free, is my blog. It's DianeGotson.com, and we offer timely information weekly. So you can either enjoy my book or go to my blog or my Facebook page, Protocol School of Texas, because I'd love to see you any one of those places. And, you know, you got it straight when you said it's just about being a real person. That's what this is about. When you meet somebody and their nose is up in the air and they're stuffy and they're talking down to you, that is not only rude, but it's not polite, and they are not self-confident. That is a sign that they need a little grooming, not you. All about being real.
Diane Gotsman, she is over at the Protocol School of Texas. She can help you in any situation. Diane, thanks so much for being on WGN.
Thank you, Dane. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you. That's great. I mean, you get to learn about the things to do and not do in work situations, social situations. But you know, when you think of parties, like you think of kids. You think of kids, too. And in Plano, there's a special kind of party happening. We're going to take a break. Don't tell Dino, but stay tuned, everybody.
We got to clarify it. It's Plano, Texas, Dane, though, not Plano, Illinois.
So you're gonna have to travel or start your own. I'm guessing you could do one of these here. As well, and it's not a pie face party. So for those people out there saying, like, that's the party I want to go to, it isn't that. But stay tuned. It is exciting. It is Daniel in for Patty on 720 WGN. Great music, Craig. This has been some nice bumper selection. 720 WGN. It is Daniel again in for Patty Vasquez until 2 a.m. And it's a party atmosphere, right? Because whatever you're into, right? Great weather makes you feel good.
Yeah.
Whether it's a holiday theme, whether it's the Cubs making some important and momentous moves, you're just going to want to get out there and celebrate.
Right. And Christmas, a couple of weeks away. But this party that... We'll get to that in a second.
Well,
I guess.
Just 1 second, because kids, right? We've got three kids, and they have been to every single kind of party. They've been to the big jumpy bouncy house parties. They've been to Halloween and costume parties. They've been to roller skating parties. They've been to bowling parties. I mean, every kind of party for the kids. The parties that they're throwing in Plano are a little bit different. And so, Dino, fill us in. Greg, you're going to love this one.
Apparently, there's they get. When kids don't want to be vaccinated, they get the kids together for chickenpox parties. I can't imagine what that's all about, well, but...
You know, there ain't no party like a chickenpox party.
And now they're being portrayed as being bad parents because, Child Protective Services decided to step in, and now the community's worried that the authorities are they're going to be prosecuting them as bad parents because they have these chickenpox parties, so... it's parents who don't want to have their kids vaccinated. So when Johnny gets the chicken pox and the other kids in the neighborhood haven't had it, apparently they're having these parties where the kids come over and then they all get together and they all get chicken pox together.
Are the kids reacting to that? Like, no, I don't want to go to the chicken pox party, Mom.
Isn't it terrible? Because that's great, Craig, because how much do you fill them in? Because, normally it's like, so where are we going? And then it's like, well, we're going to go to an area where we're hopefully going to get you infected with a really annoying disease. So hop in the car.
Oh, man, I can't even imagine. You drop, because most of the time when you have when the kids go to the birthday parties, they have gifts, they bring them in, everybody's happy. I wonder if that's what they're doing here. Are they doing the same thing? Are they bringing the presents in, the kids are getting gifts, and then next thing you know, you're at home for a week.
I'm picturing like a group of adult friends that all have kids. They're just waiting for that first kid to get chicken pox so they can throw one of these parties. Like, why are none of our kids getting chicken pox?
Well, okay, no, but I think you guys are bringing up a good point, is because usually when there is a party, there's some reason to celebrate. It's someone's birthday, there's an occasion, there's something. This isn't really anything to celebrate. So what are they, unless you're celebrating to the chicken pox mascot?
Well, we got it out of the way, kids.
and then how do you, because you'd hate to be the one that attended the party, brought a gift, and you've certainly gotten a lot of suggestions here on tonight's program, pie face, right, for one. But what if you bring your kid there and he doesn't get it?
Yeah, no, you're right. What party games do they play at a chicken pox party, too? Is there like a pinata of some kind?
No, it's pin the tail on the pox.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. Yeah. Pin the tail on the pox.
The chicken pox pinata.
Can you imagine? It's like what Craig said. What about the one kid that goes home and doesn't get it? Can you imagine the strife that he's going to go through from his parents?
And the
What's
peers.
The matter, Johnny? You can't get chicken pox? What's your problem?
Of course, the peer pressure from the kids, the ribbing about, like, geez, what's with him?
Yeah. I got my chicken pox. Didn't get yours.
Well, you can't play connect the dots on all the kids. That's what it's all about, apparently.
Well, no, I think the chicken pox pinata is probably the way to go. Because what you do is you have whoever got it first, you take up, I guess, some of their clothes or whatever would be really disgusting, and you throw that into the pinata, and then you have the kids
and they're all expecting candy, and here comes particles of pieces
of clothing.
Yeah,
you put the towels, like the towels he used to wipe his face with the previous day.
Boy.
Put all that, and but like washcloths. So I could see the party preparation that afternoon. Here, Tommy, 10 kids coming. I need 10 washcloths. Go ahead. So when he hits the pinata and it explodes, there's a towel for everyone.
Oh, man.
See, this is what you call in the business a think tank, right? You know, you think, well, geez, what if somebody doesn't get it? These are the questions you need to ask. And then you say, like, well, what do we do?
And according to the story here, it says, you know, what's shocking to me, there hasn't been a law broken. Chicken parties are not considered dangerous. They're not illegal.
He's going to try to shut them down.
But apparently CPS is up against, they're up against them on this one. They don't want these parties to continue to go on because it's dangerous in case the kid gets deathly ill from it. So, I mean, you know, they're just having a good time to get the chicken pox out of the way. They don't have to worry about it. I get it. I mean, come on.
Well, I know the chicken pox. Well, see, and you can't invite the whole family to that because, you know, small children or elderly, you know, shouldn't be getting the chicken pox.
Right. Yeah. I got the chicken pox late in life. I didn't get it until I was in my 20s, actually.
Oh, that had to suck.
Yeah, it was horrible because when my family, when all the kids got at home, I was away at school.
You weren't at a chicken pox party.
I wasn't at the party for that.
Is there any fear that this is like a gateway party and that other disease parties are coming in the works?
Like an Ebola party?
Right, exactly. Like any of those.
Well, you know, those thrill seekers out there, you live in living on the edge for danger.
Rolling the dice. Well, chicken first starts with chicken pox and gets worse.
So you mentioned no law broken, and you also mentioned rolling the dice. I'm wondering if there's a gambling element built into it where, you know, they're betting on, like, which kid gets it first, which kid doesn't get it.
Does it graduate to the shingles parties later? I don't know. How does that?
No, Craig,
that's not good.
It's a slippery slope, guys. All right. Well, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we are going to talk about some of the other fun stories that are out there. We're going to also talk a little bit more about, I think tipping. We may bring that up, too. Pitbull, you go to the restaurant, you're going to tip. You're not going to tip. I think we brought that up early in the program. So stay tuned. It is Daniel in for Patty Vasquez on 720 WGN. WGN, Dane Neal, in for Patty until 2 on a Friday. Well, it's actually Saturday morning right now.
Absolutely.
Yep.
We're past midnight, so we're on to the next day.
On to the next day, one day closer to the holidays, one day closer to holiday. We talked about some different parties that people are going to go to, and also events, you know, and the Christmas play. Now, I don't think I was ever in. Maybe as a little kid where you're just like, you know, like third camel from the left in the nativity scene. But,
and you stood there and waved at your parents the whole time.
I just looked starry-eyed as the people took pictures. But I don't think I was actually, I think I had a bad experience maybe in second grade during the Sleepy Hollow play. I got the role, the coveted role of Ichabod Crane. And I think I did everything really well in the practice. But then when it was showtime, I think I forgot some of my lines and then everyone was mad at me. So I think I just decided.
Way to ruin the entire performance,
yeah,
Dane.
Right. But
at least you had lines. I was eighth Indian hunched over a pretend fire for Thanksgiving parade. Come on.
That picture ended up on the mantle at home, right?
Oh,
Roger?
Yeah. And the picture that was taken was like half of my head peeking out from someone else, you know? And my folks bringing the relatives over. Oh, look at Roger. He was so pretty. Oh, my goodness.
That's our boy.
Oh, man.
Now, you know this, but you're very humble, Roger, so you're not going to brag. But the eighth Indian was the most important one.
Well, of course. Of course. I helped balance the stage. That's what it was. You know how they try to put everyone here and then there and then some in the middle and that. I balanced the stage. If I had called in sick that night with chicken pox, you know, everyone would sit there. There's something wrong with this performance. Don't know what
it is.
It's
missing something.
It's missing something.
Eighth Indian.
So, Craig, we talked a little bit during the break. So you actually participated in a holiday play, correct?
Yeah. Every year, the schools that I went to would put on these holiday, like, singing things where all the classes would sing different classic songs.
Like choral thing.
Yeah, it's a little choral thing. And all the parents would go. And every year I got to stand in the group and mouth the words and not actually sing the song.
Now, why is that? Was it determined?
Lip sync concert.
I really didn't want to sing. I didn't think that I had a great voice. So I would just sit there with the other kids and be like, you guys are doing a great job. I'm just going to mouth these words and then I'm done. Then I get to go home.
Well, at least that was your choice. It wasn't like, Craig, hey, just maybe just mouth them.
Hey, Craig, you're doing great, but could you just not sing anymore?
Yeah, just move your mouth a little bit. That's good. Okay, and from the top. So, but Dino, you're actually going to be not participate. Did you ever do one as a kid?
No, I never did anything like that. I have a brother that was very involved in all the school plays and stuff, but I was never one of those. I attended them. I went and watched them, but I never was involved.
That's the most important. Because what would a play be without an audience?
Not exactly. Right? It would just be people standing around being eighth Indians.
The most important idiot. So, but you're going to be attending and watching someone near
you?
Yeah,
my friend Dave Recchia's son, Charlie, is going to be in a performance of Let It Be Christmas. It's going to be out in Naperville, and there's still tickets available. Last I looked, we're going to be attending one of the performances next weekend on Saturday. It's at the Community Christian Church out in Naperville. It's basically going to be it's a story, a nativity story told through the music of the Beatles. So they're going to be singing songs with, from, according to the flyer, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Paul, George, and Ringo. So it's going to be I'm looking forward to this because I'm a Beatle fanatic. So it's going to be, it should be good. And he's got a great voice and very enthusiastic. So I'm looking forward to seeing Charlie next week out at this performance out at the Community Christian Church out in Naperville next. They had a performance apparently tonight and another one tomorrow, and then Friday and Saturday next week. So, I mean, with the holidays coming up, those are things that, like I was telling you off air, we used to go and watch movies. We watched It's a Wonderful Life over at the Music Box Theater, and there's always some things you can do during the season as Christmas approaches. So
was that a Bruin view?
We kind of made it that way, but it was a fun time. They have it there every year, as far as I know. I think they still do have it there. So, but this should be a good time next week. I'm looking forward to it.
I like the title of that Beatles Christmas show, Let It Be Christmas.
Let It Be Christmas.
That's very clever.
Yep.
Nice.
That's going to be good.
That is very clever. And also, hey, Roger. Kane's streak, 25 games. Just so you know, I'm sure you're aware of that because you've been announcing.
Oh, 25. All right. Yep. Okay. But you lose count after like 10. You know.
Another power play goal tonight.
Isn't that something?
He's unbelievable right now.
He's on a hot streak.
So maybe they'll do a Christmas play down the road. Maybe it's a Blackhawk Christmas.
There you go.
Well, I'd heard something about it. There was a light thing out in Elburn that was dedicated to the Blackhawks, but it was like a Christmas Blackhawks theme, a display. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wouldn't mind getting out to see that, but it's kind of far.
You know what I would like to see? Because you see it all the time this time of year, especially they post it on Facebook and stuff. These homes that have the automated lights with the music.
Why do they do that?
A computer and a lot of wiring and something that my brain kind of melts on after, this one's plugged into that. And I go, that's enough.
Yeah, and the fire department on speed dial, too.
Yeah, exactly. But I've seen some of these, they actually show the wiring, and this is like nuclear firing system where you've got redundant systems backing up the backup of the backup, and it's amazing how they put this together, and I'm just waiting for one to go with the Hawks. Where they play Chelsea Dagger and some of the other stuff that's played at the Hawks game. I want to see someone's house lit up for Christmas playing that music with lights that go with that.
Well, can you do 312-981-7200 if anybody necessarily knows that? Can you put whatever music you want, kind of like auto-tune?
Yeah.
So you could put on some Garth Brooks or something?
Mm-hmm. And then you program in what lights you want to flash. Yeah.
Fog hat.
Slow ride.
Yeah, nothing says Christmas like Fog hat. Although I think they did release a Christmas album, ironically enough.
Everybody's released a Christmas album.
That's right.
Well, instead of Slow Ride, it was Sleigh Ride, right? And they had like Santa, the whole band.
Take it easy, right?
I'm pretty sure there's a family that allows you to access their Christmas light display and then put whatever song you want in. There's something online where you can actually go to a website.
Make a request?
You control their lights. You go in, you type the song in you want, and then it goes in order.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
They have a camera out front that broadcasts it live?
Exactly.
That's
you can actually
awesome.
Watch the web stream of your song playing on someone else's
Christmas
lights.
So it's like an online home Christmas jukebox.
Exactly correct, yeah.
with lights.
That's out there this year. It's somewhere. I'll find it for you guys.
Oh, that's awesome.
That is awesome. Well, let's put Chelsea Dagger in there.
Yeah, there you go. Here Come the Hawks. You can throw a lot of different songs in there.
Well, guys, I want to make sure that we have enough time to get to the things that we weren't going to get to. So we're going to
wait. I think Craig's got a song for that.
No, no, we will. We will when we go. Hey, that's the song we should request.
There you go.
For the Christmas house. Yeah. It is 720 WGN. Dane Neal in for Patty Vasquez. WGN.
We didn't have time for it. We didn't have time to talk about it. It did not make the show. It had to go. Maybe next time. I don't know. This is the end of the show. We gotta go.
720 WGN. It is the end of the show and the things we didn't get to, but we're gonna make time for, right? Because it's important and they're exciting. Dane Neal in for Patty Vasquez and Craig. You have been scouring the world looking for stories that are begging to be told and heard. And what do we have?
And as I pitch this segment to you, because we do it every single night on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, I actually have found a story that I think
did you
ranks...
ever run out of stuff where it's
no.
like, oh no.
No, but I think this story ranks right up there as one of the best I've ever seen. It's out of Jackson, Mississippi on Interstate 20. Thank God it finally reopened after 100 cows spilled out onto the interstate. A truck flipped. It had 100 cows in the back. They all got loose, and then they were just staying.
They just stayed there.
They just stood there.
Craig, two questions that are coming to mind. Is number one, how big were these cows, and what was the size of the vehicle? Because
18-wheeler with a load of 100 cattle crashed at 3:30 a.m. on a Friday, and the cows just hung out on the interstate.
3:30 a.m.? Oh, boy. Rush hour traffic next morning, not too good there.
Well, who do you call for that? I mean, AAA, I've never seen them do anything like that. And then what do you call the police? What are they going to do?
Right.
You know, what do you do?
I don't know. For the news report, too, it has a good picture of a couple of the cows and one standing in between those barriers on the highway.
So grazing on the grass that's about 8 feet high that they haven't cut.
You just wait, I guess. Just hang out and hope that they finally move along.
It's not like they got any place to go. I mean, what do they got? They got a business meeting or something? No. They just, all right, so we're not in the truck. Now what? Well, I don't know, because the truck was taking us somewhere. I don't know where he was going. We'll just wait here until someone points us in the right direction.
Oh, man.
Craig, did they mention if there were any cows that were missing or lost or, you know, were on
the hunt accounted for all 100 cows by the end of the whole thing.
They accounted for them.
So they must have run out a couple other or another 18-wheeler to walk them back up into the truck. All right, Betsy, get up there. Hurry up. Let's go. We don't have all day. Traffic's coming.
Well, and here we go. There's a theme to the first couple here. This one's out of Maine. An unknown substance spilled out into the highway. So hazmat responded to the scene. It turned out it was milk. Just a bunch of milk spilling out of a truck.
Well, there it is.
Stand back.
This seems terrible, guys. Get hazmat immediately. Why didn't the driver say anything? Wouldn't he know?
He's got to know
there's it was milk he was carrying.
I don't know. Looks like milk. But
well, that could be skim. I'm not sure.
Could have been glue. Elmer's glue all over the road. Sticky situation.
There's an air traffic controller out of New York that was recently arrested because he was smoking meth on the job, and he told the police officers that he desperately needed meth to stay awake while working as an air traffic controller.
I'd like to be on one of those flights.
Right.
All right, we're going to have our meth controller bring you in, all right?
Meth.
Jeez.
Sorry, officer, I can't quit the meth right now.
Not now.
Right.
With Larry's lives at stake.
This story I mentioned to you earlier tonight, a man actually killed someone. This is kind of a rough part. He's out of Florida, of course. He committed murder, and then his next choice was to go to a strip club and hang out until he wound up being arrested.
Whoa.
Yeah. He didn't know how to blow off steam after taking someone else's life to a strip club.
I got a stack of ones here that are just burning a hole in my pocket. A
diamond makes me happy.
What is it about Florida? You always hear these wacky stories
coming
out of Florida. It's like that entire state just seems like it's upside down.
Why do you think that? Is it because I guess they just, you know, the weather is very nice and so people kind of or do you think there is something about either the barometric pressure or the level of humidity or what is it that makes, because doesn't it seem like there's a disproportionate amount of.
I have a theory that they're all related. All the people in this one part of Florida, they're all in one big family somehow.
Wow. What's next? What do you...
There's a new currency. You guys have all heard of Bitcoin. There's a new currency that's coming out of Japan. It's getting kind of popular. It's called Bitwalking. And you actually make money by walking. You get Bitwalking dollars, and they think it's going to sweep the world. Bitwalking.
I know I've seen the emails, and I get them on a regular basis, usually after the one from the Nigerian prince who trusts me. He's like, I'm a good guy.
That's correct.
Who says, send me all your money.
Well, he's never said I could make a lot of money by walking. I haven't seen that. It's usually like stuffing envelopes or something like that or spreading. So how do people make money? People pay you to...
You download the app, and just like with any other kind of digital currency, once you have everything set up on your phone and you walk around, you earn money. And so then you can trade that money with other people that are also doing this. And I guess they hope that it becomes like Bitcoin. Eventually, there's actual real life money attached to the Bitwalking dollars. Yeah. Look at you. You guys are both dumbfounded. This is a thing. This is a thing.
People are actually doing this
right
now.
They are.
I'm just saying enterprising.
I'd like to find out what the hook was there. I know they're going to make money one day. But
Well, enterprising wise people came up. They got together, and they created Pie Face. I mean, that's positive. This is kind of silly, though.
Well, Pie Face is the most popular kind of thing going on in the United States right now. There is a very hot product in Japan right now for the holidays. It is the scent of a cat's forehead. They have bottled the scent specifically.
I got to tell you, Craig, and you may not be aware of this, I'm not sure if you, but not all cats smell the same.
This company disagrees with you, Dane. I don't think they think, and it's funny, it's not cats, it's a cat's forehead.
Forehead.
Well, come on, you know that the forehead
is the best.
Here, kitty, let me smell your forehead. Oh, it smells just like the last two we had here.
I want to say, is that real? I know that it must be because obviously you wouldn't have read it if it wasn't.
I would never.
But like, who is calling out for that? It's like, because you have those, like, well, that smells like roses, or that's, jasmine, or that smells, like cut grass, even weird things like that. But I've never heard anyone say cat's forehead.
I mean, Hello Kitty is very popular in countries over there.
Now
so
Hello
maybe,
Kitty's forehead.
Right. Maybe just a natural evolution.
There it is.
There is a problem in Africa with elephants kind of stampeding on some of the farmland. So this new product that they're using is, they call it honey fences. It's just beehives that keep the elephants away. Just giant beehives throughout a fence. I don't know how the farmers get in, because that sounds like an issue for other people, but the elephants don't.
What country is this in?
This is in Africa.
Okay, so the continent of Africa. Mm-hmm. The Africanized bees, they're notoriously more angry than the regular bees, right? They're the killer bees.
Yeah.
So I could see that working. Of course, the natural enemy, at least from a fear standpoint of the elephant, we all know it's the mouse, right? Mm-hmm. We've all seen them.
Yeah, that would work much better, and the farmer could get past the mouse. That would be a lot easier.
The bees seem a little bit more of a challenge than a mouse would be, but...
Well, devoted and dedicated listeners of the program will know that Craig had brought up a story yesterday about the deterrent based on rubber snakes, right?
Yep.
Scaring people away.
That's
true.
I would say the way to go is...
Rubber mice?
Rubber bees.
Rubber bees, there it is.
No?
There's no shortage of those.
Yeah. This makes sense. There's a man out of Cedar Rapids that refuses to stop smuggling drugs in his rectum. He's been caught several times doing this, and he just refuses to stop.
How did the light bulb go on one day and say, "Well, that's it. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to start doing it through. I'm going to start smuggling things through the rectum."
His name is Brandon Wilson. He is 26 years old. He's been arrested 6 times for smuggling drugs in his rectum, and just can't get over it.
He doesn't care who knows it. Well, but here's the thing: is okay, who's trying to convince him not to do it? Or who's and he's like, nope, can't do it. Nope, hey, I told you once, I'm going to do it. Or maybe if it's just something that you're just kind of hardwired to do, was he smuggling them from like the living room to the bathroom? Maybe you can't take it on a plane anymore. It's like within your own home, you can smuggle whatever you want.
Where's that narco at? Oh, I know where it is.
We got one more story. A man allegedly uses Facebook and Instagram to find women. And then once he gains the trust of said women, he steals their underwear.
Now that makes sense.
Yep.
No.
Yep, he just got arrested. This is what he does. He uses social media to find women to steal their underwear.
Well, okay, so, all right. So he finds women. I mean, I could see, okay, he does that. How does that conversation go? Does he just like, what you wearing, or what you doing?
How does he distract them, you mean? Like, how does he send them out of the room to steal the underwear?
Oh, okay, so he sets up, opportunities to get together, and
I
then
think so.
He has to be at their house, right? Because who carries extra run? I mean, unless you're little kids or something, who carries extra run?